Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Alan Siegel and Irene Etzkorn have long consulted with businesses and organizations around the world looking to streamline products, services, processes, and communications, and they have achieved dramatic results. In the new book, Simple, Siegel and Etzkorn show us how having empathy, striving for clarity, and distilling your message can reduce the distance between company and customer, hospital and patient, government and citizen, and ultimately increase the bottom line. Examining the best and worst practices of an array of organizations, big and small, including the IRS, Google, Philips, Trader Joe's, Chubb Insurance, and ING Direct, and many more, Siegel and Etzkorn recast simplicity as a mindset, a design aesthetic, and a writing technique. It is a great pleasure to welcome Alan Siegel and Irene Etzkorn to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. A delight.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. Good morning.
Very good introduction, I must say.
Well, thank you very much. Let me know how you came to write in such detail about simplicity. Where are we? Give us a state of simplicity report of why such a volume is necessary.
I'll do a quick thing and Irene can employ. But Irene and I have been partners, colleagues, for past 30-plus years addressing the issue of simplicity as it relates to the business community, the educational community, of course, government, and we felt that at this time that there's a real potential for simplicity to be a much more important factor in the way our society works, and that as society has gotten more complex, and that it's a time to bring this to people's attention. So we felt this by showing people not only what it is and how to do it, but giving case histories and showing people that there is real value in supporting companies and government units that do a good job at it, that this was an opportune time. Irene, you might want to add some things to that.
Well, the particular moment in time is also critical because technology has reached a crescendo. It's increase the volume and the speed of information that we have to deal with. But at the same time, we see it as an opportunity to use technology as a means to cut through complexity, both for companies to use data to winnow down and make information more accessible at the right moment in the right channel with more customization, but also for consumers to use social media to express their dissatisfaction, to point out when they are dealing with complexity, or to complement companies and organizations that are clear and transparent.
The subtitle of the book is Conquering the Crisis of Complexity. Give us an idea, Irene, of how you would define the crisis of complexity. Why is it a crisis?
Because so many of our life events that are crucial are transactions that involve a leap of faith. We really don't know what we're signing. Most of our health and wealth transactions, mortgages, student loans, credit cards, hospital bills, doctor visits, procedures, all of these involve massive amounts of information, lots of legalese, signing 10, 20 times, and basically not understanding the rights and responsibilities that are involved. So there's a lot on the line, and when your time, your patience, and even your life is involved, it's critical that you understand what you're getting into and what you're going to get out of it.
So, Alan, when you work with companies, how tough a sell is simplicity? Because it seems to me that it's something on the surface that most companies would want for their consumers, and yet a difficult thing to achieve in practice.
Well, you know, it's one of these things that I remember when I first started doing this, people said to me, oh, you have an easy job. Everybody will see you. Everybody wants to simplify things. And that, you know, people pay lip service to simplification, but actually doing it is another matter. So Irene and I, for instance, have been in many situations where people have called us in and they want to simplify things, and we go up and see the people that run the company, and they when push comes to shove, they're not willing to put the time, money, and effort and disruption into doing this and making the kind of significant change that's required. So while everybody is, you know, theoretically supportive of it, getting it done is a big deal, and the number of situations where people do it is very few.
You do point out in the book that by simplifying certainly does, it lays bare flaws, inconsistencies, and redundancies that are present.
Yeah, I mean, when we work for a number of companies, that when you simplify things, you know, the people that work there might not be required. The suppliers they use might change. The computer systems they use have to be changed. There's significant disruption, and companies don't like disruption and are not willing to do it unless, you know, they have real strong leadership and commitment, because doing this halfway is not worth it.
So, Irene, what makes something simple? What makes it, by definition, simple for both the person who is developing something and for the person who is using something?
It's all about context. So it depends on what it is and how and when it will be used. But generally, it will involve clarity. Do you understand the purpose, the meaning, the message of whether it's an item, a communication, or a thing? Then the other aspect is usability. If you're going to need to use this in an emergency in the dark, is it something that will be accessible in that environment as opposed to looking at it in a focus group in a conference room? And then lastly, is it transparent? Does it actually reveal whatever the policies and business practices are of the company or the organization that's issuing it? And when you hit all three of those, you're pretty sure that you're getting close to simplicity. Our definition of simplicity is shortening the distance between a customer and a company. Mm. So whatever does that, if it's the timing of the information, the media, how you send it, or the way you express it, that's really what needs to be addressed to make it truly simple.
You talk in the book about the flip camera. And here is a product that was, by design, very simple. And Alan, what were, you would think on the surface then that it would work, but what were the problems they ran into?
I don't think they ran into any problems. I just think they were superseded by the smartphones that took great pictures, you know, and so people prefer to have one electronic instrument that can do many things versus, you know, multiple instruments. So I think they had a great product, a great idea, and they set the stage, you know, for what happened with the smartphone. Some of the great photographers in the world are using smartphones for video and still life. So they got caught in the disruption of technology.
And we look at our smartphones on the face and can say they allow us to do things relatively simply, and yet we hear numbers and statistics sometimes that most of us only use, you know, a fraction, 10-15% of what our phone is capable of doing. So what does that say about us, and what does that say about what's available to us?
It says something about people's basic nature, that they don't understand themselves. We do find that when asked in the abstract, when we're still in the shopping mode, people want lots of features and think that they want lots of selection and choice. However, once they have the product and are using it, then it's a different story, and you rapidly find that they really care about a few functions or a few features. So it's sort of human nature to think that you don't want to give up choice and selection, but in reality, it's more than our brains can actually process and handle.
Yeah, the other thing is that, you know, that one of the problems, you know, that, you know, you deal with is too many choices. And generally, when people come out with new products that are technology-based, the technology people put too many features in, that, and it's too complicated to use, and it frustrates people, and it undermines brand loyalty. And people are much more comfortable dealing with a product that, you know, basically provides the service you're looking for with not too many bells and whistles, except if you're some kind of a 10-year-old techie like my grandkids.
And this doesn't even have to be something when we're talking about technology. I mean, last weekend I was in the market and I was getting toothpaste, and I must have spent 10 minutes trying to figure out toothpaste. I find that to be the most confusing, complex purchase that I've had to make in a very long time. Some have tartar, they have plus, this one sparkles, this one doesn't. I don't, you know, and when you talk about brand loyalty, so then I look at two brands and say, oh, well, I used to like this product from Crest, I used to like this product from Colgate, but now I don't know what they are anymore. So how do you make that simple? Because this is a row that goes on for like 11 feet.
You know, well, you're not alone in that dilemma.
Yeah.
But really more the organizational structure of the consumer goods companies showing through than it is responding to consumer demand. People within organizations are rewarded as brand managers, but if you want to advance and become a brand manager, you have to have a brand to manage. And so brand extension has been viewed as something that was a positive in terms of job fulfillment and organizational promotion. However, it has led to this proliferation of items on shelves. So there is a sort of natural point at which there are too many choices, and in that example, the nature of what you're purchasing doesn't warrant all these features and selections.
Yeah, it's sort of like planned obsolescence. I've been using the same Gillette razor for the past 6 years, and in that 6 years, Gillette has come out with 7 new types of Gillette razors, all which have different blades, and now I can't find the blades for the razor that I bought 7 years ago or 5 years ago. But I had the same experience you had with Dove soap. I went in to buy Dove soap, liquid soap, because I use some, in a gym, and there were 9 variations, so I couldn't figure out what to buy. I didn't buy any of them, and so I think. Irene and I write in the book about Trader Vic's, and Trader Vic's, I think, has dealt with this question of too many options by cutting down on the number of choices you have in any product category, selecting a cross-section of 2, 3, 4 products instead of 20 to help the consumer make a decision, and it really works.
And that's a case of where it's almost like a juried art show, right? They have decided what is going to work for you. Here are your options.
I'm surprised to see some of these companies offer so many options because Irene and I work a lot of the things that we do are connected to branding. I mean, that really undermines the brand when you overextend it. It's very hard to figure out what it stands for and who your customer is and what the features of the brand are, and it does confuse people, and it goes back to this whole science of choice. People have too many choices. They get confused, and they make bad choices.
When you look at the book as going out into the world, what do you hope it ultimately accomplishes for people?
Irene, you want to?
I hope that it makes both business people and consumers wake up to the fact that this isn't a necessary evil. Complexity doesn't have to get the better of us. That we can, by simply being alert to its existence and willing to do the hard work to take a blank slate approach and not just let features proliferate, that we can change this. And it's going to be better for the economy, better for individuals, and better for even employees within companies who will understand what they're promoting.
The name of the book is Simple, Conquering the Crisis of Complexity. It is published by 12. Alan Siegel and Irene Atzcorn, I thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Again,
you.
The name of the book is Simple. It is published by 12. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.